we know, as written in the Sfarim HaKadoshim, that when we are going through a festival, it's not just a memory of the festival, but to a real degree, we are reenacting the festival. As the Sichas Bavadat Hashem notes in Source Number 1, in the name of the Arizal, Shebechol Shana V'Shana V'Chag HaShavuot, Mekablim Anu HaTorah Kmo Shayav HaTam HaRishon, Shekiblu Yisrael HaTorah. When we are accepting the Torah, Maman Har Sinai, when we, every Shavuos, it wasn't as if we're remembering, oh, once upon a time, 3,000 years ago, the Jewish people accepted the Torah. No. Each and every year, it's as if this is the experience of us accepting the Torah now. And the Yisur V'Shar Shavoda notes that we should think about this at the time of Kriyas HaTorah, when we hear the Aseres HaDibros. We should tzrichim lechaven. We should have in mind as if we are standing right now at Har Sinai. Mamash, umekablim haTorah Shav, as if we are receiving the Torah right now. And this is based on the psikta that says, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, Hashem Kivyachol said to Klal Yisrael, Banai, Heyu Korim et HaParasha Azu B'chol Shana, read this section of the receiving of the Torah every year. Vanimala Alechem Kilo Atem Omdim Lefnei Har Sinai, umekablim et haTorah. It's as if you are accepting the Torah right now. So first and foremost, we understand that when we are going through the holiday of Shavuot, we have to understand it's a re-experiencing, it's a reenacting, it's a re-acceptance that we are going through each and every year as we individually are accepting the Torah. We ourselves are as if we should feel like we are Mamed Har Sinai. And as the Shari Derech notes in Source 2, there's a certain energy, there's a certain obligation upon us when we look at it this way, that it demands something of us. It can't be just a passive acceptance. There has to be some active role that we need to take. Along these lines, the Sichos Bavadat Hashem and the asterisk in 1 continues by quoting an idea based on the Zvila Rebbe, who says, every year, right before the sun rises on Shavuos, our souls are asked from heaven, who wants to receive the Torah? And this is a time where the neshamos answer, Nasa, the nishma, as Klal Yisrael responded, our neshamos, every Shavuos also respond, Naseh v'nishma, we will do, and we will listen. And it's this response of Naseh v'nishma, which, albeit we may not consciously be aware of, although we understand that if we are re-receiving the Torah, we need to go through that type of acceptance that Klal Yisrael went through, but we need to be ready to and prepare to be able, at least on a subconscious level, to indeed be able to say wholeheartedly, Naseh v'nishma. This is the question our neshamas are being asked on Shavuos morning. We have to be able to understand what is our response, Naseh v'nishma. What are we taking upon ourselves? What is included in Naseh v'nishma? And along these lines in Source 3, we need to understand that famous question of what, in fact, does Naseh v'nishma mean? It makes logically no sense. Naseh, we will do, v'nishma, we will listen, we will understand. Well, how can we possibly do if we don't know what we're doing? Right? To say, Naseh, I'm ready to do, well, I don't know what I'm doing. Should that nishma be before Naseh? Let me hear, and then I'll know what to do. So I'd like to speak about what Naseh v'nishma is, how Naseh v'nishma is really, to a certain degree, the core of what our role in every year on Shavuos is, what mindset we need to have, and what our avoda, what our service of Hashem entails. We'll focus primarily on Naseh, but we will begin our study so because we're saying both Naseh and Nishma, what Nishma means as well. The Drash Tavi gives probably the most basic interpretation of David Hofstadter, where he notes in Source 4, HaChelek HaAchadu Etzem Kiyum HaMitzvos. Naseh is about doing the mitzvos, even if you don't understand what you're doing. Naseh, I'm ready to accept without looking into, without investigating. That's what Naseh means. I don't have to understand why I'm doing what I'm doing. Naseh, I'm prepared to do. The chelik hasheni who avodas alev shebechol mitzvah mitzvah. Nishma is the second level. It's the understanding in every mitzvah. Shekem ravad etzem ma'isa mitzvah, yesh b'chol mitzvah b'chinos ravos. Aside from the doing of the mitzvahs, there are many different levels of understanding and many different levels of depth of understanding. Nishma means shekein ha'idei shmiyos tochen ma'asa mitzvahs. V'kabalos ha'lev shol tameim, yechol adam la'lov l'ramim ma'asa mitzvah l'dargot niskavot. Once I have an understanding, once I have a taste of what the mitzvah is about and what impact it has and all the different effects of the mitzvah, so then obviously my naaseh is raised to higher levels. So naaseh means I'm ready to comply. Nishma means let me understand. And it's really a balance between both. The more nishma I have, the greater my naaseh will be. Rabbi Leff, in his Sefer Outlooks and Insight, Shirei Bina, talks about what this nishma aspect is about. Let's focus in on this for just a number of minutes, and then Emir Hashem will spend the rest of the shir on the nasa. He says, what is nishma about? Was this not merely an inevitable sequel to the commitment? Obviously, to be able to do, they had to know what was demanded. What is the true significance of the second crown, and what does it teach us? So he brings down a very interesting Ma'amar Chazal to tell us that when the Aseret HaDibrot were uttered by Hashem, it was given to every Jew with varying levels of intensity according to their capabilities and potential of each individual. Therefore, although Hashem spoke, every person was able to understand it, able to hear it on the level where they were at. And that was one of the miracles of Ma'amar Har Sinai. Thus each one was spoken to by God on his level. Yet, as each utterance went forth, the people were so overcome that their souls left them, and God had to resurrect them. If the commandments were in fact commanded on the level of each individual, why did each one hear precisely the intensity he could take without his soul leaving it? It almost seems like a stira. If they were able to hear on the exact appropriate level, then why did their souls leave them? To resolve the seeming contradiction, we have to understand what it means that Hashem speaks to the level of each Jew. What the Medrash refers to is as the Jew's true level is his or her ultimate potential with maximum effort. There is a vast expanse between one's actual achievement and his true potential. The intensity of the voice was geared to the potential and was precisely the revelation of that expanse between what they were then and what they could be that caused their souls to depart. And this is a very powerful idea that at Ma'amad Har Sinai, every Jew was able to see who they really were, which is perhaps a different way of understanding the Medrash that all blind people were able to see, all deaf people were able to hear. It means that we were able to reach a level of total perfection, a level where we were able to go to our maximum. And obviously, we don't live on the maximum. And that disparity between where we are and where we could be, obviously, led to this parcha nishmasam that their souls left them. Our ancestors stood at Sinai, accepted Torah totally and unconditionally. In order for this commitment to be meaningful, however, they had to be willing to grow and mature in Torah. That's the nishma. To realize they had taken just the first step, they had to recognize that a Jew must constantly improve his Torah observance. This was a declaration of nishma. We will constantly be open to learn more in order to elevate ourselves, rung after rung, towards fulfillment of the ultimate Torah potential that each of us possess. Every year when we say nishma, when our souls make this declaration, let us understand what we're declaring, what we're saying. It's not only nishma will learn Torah, it's much deeper than that. We will learn and grow this year further, higher. We will try to reach as much of our potential as we're able to. We won't fall into the rut of apathy. We won't fall into complacency. We won't say good enough is good enough. We will try to learn more. We'll try to understand more. And our learning will impact our action, that we will become more careful, more observant, a person with greater Yirat Shamayim. He quotes here, we know that famous mashal, that Jews are like, the Torah learning of a Jew is like fish in water. You take fish out of water, they're not alive. A Jew can't live without living and learning a Torah lifestyle. So he says this imagery of the Medrash, this allegory of fish and water, is more than just a fish needs water to survive. The Medrash is telling us, the arrow and six, that the allegory must be taken yet one step further. Fish constantly immersed in water have a very peculiar nature. When it rains, the fish ascend in a frenzy to the top of the water as the droplets hit the water, to hungrily receive yet another drop of rain. They are not content with the endless supply of water that engulfs them. So too, the Jew engulfed and immersed in Torah must nevertheless be hungry to ascend to new levels in Torah meaning and observance. And that's why we, unlike the angels who are called Omdim, we are called Holchim. Our lives are about ascending. Our lives are about striving to perfect ourselves. And he concludes this essay by saying a person can start as a staunch 99% Shomer Torah Mitzvos. Yet, if he rejects the necessity to constantly improve and elevate himself, and the 1% where this resistance exists, he will begin an explorable descent into seven tragic faces, which is found at the end of Parshas Bahar. The Baal Tshuva movement is not limited to estranged and alienated Jews. We must all be Baal Tshuva, ever striving to return to levels of perfection that every Jew is capable of reaching. And this is our charge. This is our challenge. How are we able to be, how are we in our lives able to say, I want to learn more. I want to grow more. I'm not satisfied with the level I am. I want to listen to a shiur a week. I want to understand certain mitzvot. I want to do a halacha a day. I want to learn Hilchos Shabbos. I'm able to improve on that. I want to learn Musar so that I'm a nicer person. That's our goal. Nishma doesn't mean that it's a passive acceptance. Okay, I'm hearing. I'm ready to listen. No, it means listening to change, listening to grow. And in this new Sefer, Path to the Tree of Life, Rav Zev Reichman takes the teachings of Rav Silver on the Tanya. And in this Sefer, he notes a very famous letter that Rav Hutner wrote to a student who was complaining that he doesn't feel like he's really moving forward in his Avodas Hashem. And Rav Hutner, in this very, very famous letter, parts of it are quoted in 9, says, we have a brief problem when we read to our kids these, you know, books of great scholars and great rabbis, where some of these books make it sound like these rabbis were born brilliant. You know, at age 5 they knew everything and they were perfect and they never had struggles, they never had challenges. That's doing a disservice. We have to know that our lives are about struggle, our lives are about challenge. That when we're talking about Nishma, I want to move forward, it doesn't mean that we're not going to have struggles. It doesn't mean it won't be difficult. It doesn't mean that we're not going to have hurdles along our way that are going to try to block us from moving forward. Nishma has to be this commitment that despite everything, I am going to do my best to be able to grow to the type of person, to the potential that I really have. It's as if every year when Hashem gives us the Torah, we get a glimpse on Shavuos of our true potential. If we say that what happened then is reenacted, so on Shavuos we get a sense, we get an inspiration of this is where I can be, and it inspires us to reach these levels. And that's how he explains at the bottom of number 9, Rav Hutner. On the Pasuk, Sheva Yipol Tzadik V'Kam, the Tzadik will fall 7 times and rise. The fool thinks he meant to say, even though the Tzadik fell 7 times, nevertheless he got up. But the wise one knows well that the nature of a Tzadik's rise is only through the 7 falls. And that's the understanding that we need to have, that life is about challenges, and challenges are healthy, and challenges are good. And challenges is what allows us, that nishma, to be able to grow to our fullest potential. Having said this, we now are going to try to understand, with a lot of siyata dishmaya, what is nasa about? Right? And you see, nishma is about personal growth. What does it mean when I said nasa, I will do? So the Chazon LaMoed, Rav Arye Leib HaKohen Shapira, begins our discussion by citing to us a famous Rashi on the book of Kohelet. Source 10, the Pasuk says, Asher asa Elokim et Adam yashar, v'heima bikshu cheshbonos rabi. Hashem made man straight, and he came up with a lot of cheshbonos, a lot of different ways of thinking, of excuses. And Rashi says, Asher asalu kimet Adam arishon yasher. Hashem made Adam, the first man, straight. V'hema bikshu cheshbonos rabim zimona machshavot shochei. And it was Adam who came up with the idea of sin. What was really, based on this, the yesod, the foundation of the sin of Adam Rishon? Shelo kibel tzvar Hashem b'tmimus. He didn't accept the word of God with total faith, with total sincerity, but rather try to figure out what would be the best way to serve Hashem. And we know, the Sfarim tell us that Adam Rishon was really like an Aveira Lishma, an Aveira, a sin for the sake of heaven. He reasoned that if it's so easy to serve Hashem on this level, but if I would fall, if I would struggle and not succeed, if I would struggle, which means if I would bring in the Itzahara and bring me down to a lower level, and then I would serve Hashem, then there would be a much greater Kiddush Hashem. Let me bring evil into me so that I could serve Hashem on a higher level. If this is not what Hashem commanded, then this is not what Hashem wants, and therefore this was an example of where Adam was trying to outsmart God in making cheshbonos and making calculations which were not part of God's plan. It's interesting, as he continues in source number 11 and 12, that the ground made similar calculations. When God said to the trees, I'd like you to have the bark of the tree and the fruit of the tree taste the same, it also said, well, if the bark of the tree tastes like the fruit of the tree, then the first environmentalist, then everyone's going to cut down the barks of the tree to eat the trees, and therefore there'll be no more trees. So let's make the fruit of the trees taste like fruit and bark. Let's take it like bark. And again, they were barking up the wrong tree, because this is not what God commanded. It was one exception. Gemara tells us the exception was the Esrog tree. It didn't listen. And that helps us explain why there's one opinion of the five that are brought down in the Gemara, that the tree that Adam HaRishon ate from was an Esrog. Why? Because the Esrog was like staring Adam in the face. Look at me. I was able to obey Hashem without making all these cheshbonos, without making all these calculations. Why weren't you able to do this? But with this we can appreciate the Gemara that says in Shabbos in 13, Amar Rav Chama Rabbi Chanina, my dechtiv ki tapuach betzei hayar. What does it mean when the Pasuk tells us, like a tapuach in the forest, that the Jewish people are compared to a tapuach? Just like the tapuach, the fruit comes before the leaves, so too the Jewish people said Nasa before Nishra. Ask the Tosfot, what fruit are we talking about that the fruit is there before the leaves? We take a look at a tapuach, that we translate it as an apple. The leaves come before the fruit. Says the Tosfot, so tapuach is the esrog. And the esrog is a citrus fruit, which is around all year. And therefore, indeed, the fruit is there before the leaves come for the next season. What is the imagery here? It's exactly what Chazal is saying on a much deeper level is exactly this point. The Jewish people saying Naseh v'Nishma are likened to an esrog tree. The esrog being that perfect model of obedience to Hashem without calculations. When the Jewish people said Naseh v'Nishma, they went back to pre-Adam HaRishon sin. Pascha Zumasa, the effects of the Nachash, of the serpent, were gone. They were back on that high level. Because when the Jewish people said Naseh v'Nishma, they were ready to rectify the sin of Adam HaRishon. Instead of saying, well, let's hear, let's see if we can handle it, let's see if it's too hard for us, Naseh v'Nishma meant, Naseh, whatever you say, Hashem, we will do. We're not going to start reasoning it out. We're not going to make excuses. We're not going to make provisos. We're going to be ready to accept. And that acceptance was bringing the Jewish people back to the state of Adam HaRishon before the sin. And that's why the Medrash talks about Mikila Raz Zelubana. Who shared the secret, this angelic secret, to my children? That is the secret of total obedience to Hashem. So on this level, my friends, what does Naseh mean? Naseh is a requirement for us to be able to say, Hashem, I'm ready to serve you on your terms. I'm ready to serve you as you so desire, and not for me to say, well, in this circumstance, or in this occasion, or this time, no, Naseh, whatever you ask for, Hashem, I will do. The question we have to ask ourselves is, was this really so smart? I mean, to be able to blindly say, I'm ready to do Hashem, without questioning, was this something that is so easy to swallow? How do we understand this total commitment? Because after all, and this is where Ramat Yisrael's following brings down in 14, does it not make more sense to first see what the commitment we have to make is, and then say, okay, I'm ready to give full commitment? You know, when the different nations are asked, do you want to keep the Torah? And they say, well, what's written in it? Oh, I can't do that. Well, isn't that not much smarter? Are we really able to say fully, Nasa Hashem, unconditionally, I am ready to keep all of Torah? Is that so easy to say? I'm ready not to speak Lashon Hara. I'm ready not to lie. I mean, these are difficult things. So what does it mean when we said, Nasa, we're going to give you this blind commitment, and we know Hashem that we'll be ready to handle whatever you give me? Is this so simple? So, Ramat Yisrael, there are two ways we could look at what this means, this blind acceptance. Is this not being rash? Is this not accepting something that is beyond our ability? So again, part of it is returning back to before the sin, and that this was our calling, was to make this commitment. But the other way to understand it is what Ramat Yisrael Solomon says in 15. Actually, these exalted words reveal the profound understanding of the nature of Torah, or the vast power of the Word of God. The Jewish people knew full well that if they would inquire about what the Torah contained, they would undoubtedly encounter many rules and prohibitions that would seem too difficult to keep. They knew full well that their capabilities would not measure up to the requirements and demands of the Torah. But they also knew that receiving the Torah would transform them, that would infuse them with new strength and powers, so the difficult and the impossible would suddenly not become not only possible, but a way of life. So we ask, how is it possible for the Jewish people to make such a commitment? The answer is, it's what we would call the Ratzon Elyon. Their higher faculties understood that, you're right, if I look at it from an objective, outsider perspective, the Ratzon Tachton, the lower will, it's impossible. But I understand that with Torah comes transformation. With Torah comes elevation. With Torah comes the means to be able to accomplish what Hashem is asking us for. And that was the greatness of Nasa V'Nishma. That it wasn't just, we will do and we'll accept whatever you say, Hashem. It's much deeper than that. Hashem, when we are going to accept the Torah, we are accepting it with the understanding that whatever you're giving us the toolbox to be able to be successful. We understand that Torah is not just a bunch of rules and regulations. Torah is a way of life. Torah is a way of living a life of malchus, of royalty. And he continues in 16, he says, let us consider for a moment. Hashem created people with the ability to experience this wonderful feeling called pleasure. If so, it is inconceivable that he would seek to deprive us of pleasure. If he loved us enough to give us the Torah, would he condemn us to a life devoid of pleasure? But there are really two levels of pleasure. There are low pleasures that appeal purely to a person's physical side, the sheer bodily pleasures. And then there are the higher pleasures that appeal to a person's intellect, spirit, sense of honor and dignity. This is the way of the Torah. When Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, "Vatem tiyu li skula mikol ha'amim, mamlechus kohanim v'goy kadosh," you'll be dearer to me than all the peoples, the kingdom of priests, the holy nation. The word Kohanim here means princes and princesses, God's inner circle. By accepting the Torah, the Jewish people would become royalty. They would rise above the common folk of the world by virtue of the close relationship with the King of Kings, the Master of the Universe. They would enjoy this honor every moment of the day. They would live in the palace of the king, so to speak. And so, of course, their pleasure would be of a higher order. They would experience the finer enjoyments of royal favor, the ultimate in spiritual, emotional, intellectual fulfillment. And that helps us explain how the Medrash tells us that Naomi and Ruth went barefoot back to Beit Lechem. Ruth, who was a princess, to go barefoot, is this not beyond what an individual can handle? And the answer is, that shallow life, even gilded with the veneer of Moabite royalty, no longer held any attraction for her. She wanted to be a princess in God's palace. And now that she was enlightened, only a life of Torah could give her true pleasure and happiness. Only Torah could make her feel content and fulfilled, and in the merit of her great courage and wisdom, she became the ancestress of King David, and her descendants would be the royalty of royalty. And this is what we need to understand. We are all princes and princesses. We all bear the mark of royalty. Hashem has honored us by giving us His holy Torah. Every mitzvah we do, every word of Torah we study, binds us closer to Him and elevates us to even higher states of holiness and purity. These are the highest of the high pleasures. No other pleasure on earth can even begin to compare with them. But we can only experience this pleasure if we recognize the divine privilege we enjoy. If we appreciate the incredible honor Hashem has bestowed upon us. If we are truly delighted when we make the blessing of Asher Bachar Banu, who has chosen us from among all the nations and gave us this Torah. If, however, we do not recognize the Torah for what it is. If we do not value our privileged relationship with Hashem. If we do not view ourselves as part of His royal group. Then we will certainly feel burdened and restricted. But the tragedy will be far greater than the loss of some physical low pleasures. The tragedy would be that we were given such a priceless gift and have ignorance and folly to not cherish it properly. My friends, when we're looking at Nafse, it means a total commitment to Hashem. And we need to ask ourselves, does this total commitment make sense? So yes, it does, because it allows us to go back to Adam Harishon level. But even still, we ask ourselves, how could Klal Yisrael have made such a statement? Is this beyond what we're capable of doing? And the answer, one aspect of the answer is that you're right. Where they were now, they were incapable. But once Torah is given to you, you are given an elevated, higher level. And when you look at yourself with this aspect, so then it changes the whole dynamics of what Torah is about. It's very hard for me, let's say, you know, to refrain from speaking about another person. But when I look at myself as Malchus, as royalty, then it's beneath my dignity. Like, I am going to speak about somebody else. Like, it's pashnus. It's just not appropriate for me. And when I look at myself in royalty, and I understand the position that I'm in, and I understand the power of each and every mitzvah, it transforms my whole service of God. It transforms my whole commitment to Hashem. The other way we could look at how they could have made such a commitment without even knowing Naaseh and then Nishma, what they were committing to, wasn't this beyond their capabilities, is found in Haras Derech, a new sefer for us, Rav Uri Weissblum, who's a Mashkiach in Yeshivas Nachlos up in the Haifa area. And he quotes the Gemara that says, Amar Rabbi Elazar, source 18, B'sha'a shekdimu Yisrael nasil nishma bat yatzta bako varmala miki lal v'anai razdeh shemalche yasharis b'shamshim bo. When Klal Yisrael said, Nasa v'nishma we will do when we will listen, Hashem said, who revealed the secret that my angels use? Dichtiv, and here's the pasuk that's quoted. Baruch Hu Hashem melachav, giborei koach, these are the praise of the God's angels who are strong. Oseh dvaro, who do the will of Hashem, Lishmo b'kol dvaro, and then they listen to the word of Hashem. First they do, and then they listen. That's the secret of the angels. That's the secret that the Jewish people took. On this, Rashi notes, what does Oseh dvaro mean? It means Lishmoa muchanim lasot kodem shishmo. They're ready to do. They're prepared to do even before they listen. And here the Haras Derech makes as a notation that what does it mean that we are prepared to do? So he goes through in a very beautiful essay. Reality is, my friends, that we do very little. If we think we've done anything, so then we have a real misnomer going on here. Hashem does everything, right? Hashem is Kol Yachol. Then the question is, well, what is my part? I do believe I'm functioning and I am doing. Our part is to put in our greatest effort, to put in all of our energy, and then be able to realize that Hashem is the one who's finishing it off for us. This is the idea that our rabbis say, Yisro shalotam yisgaber alav v'chol yomu v'akech lamito. The inclination of man is so strong it tries to kill us every day. Vilmalaya Kadosh Baruch Hu is rowing Yacholo. And if Hashem doesn't help us, you know what? We'd be up a creek. What is our job? Our job is to stand firm. Our job is to fight that Yetzahara to the nth degree. Our job is not to give up for a moment the battlefront. But Hanitzuach bepoel eino biyad Hashem. The ultimate vanquishing of the enemy is not in our hands, it's in God's hands. And now, my friends, I can understand. How could the Jewish people have accepted, is this not beyond us to do? The answer is, you're right. Many mitzvos and refraining from many aveiros are beyond us. That's the truth. So what does nasa mean? I'll tell you what nasa means, says the Haros Derech. Nasa means you put in your full effort that you humanly have to be able to do the mitzvah or to not to do the aveira. And recognize that Hashem is the one who finishes it off. How could we say nasa when there are things beyond our capability? Because God isn't expecting us to go beyond our capability. That He does. What He expects from us is to give the entirety of our being to that which we are doing. To fight to the nth degree. You're right. Oftentimes the HR is much smarter than us. Much stronger than us. But we have to put in the fight. When we do, then it comes as a gift from above, the ability to be successful. And this is the idea that Chazal say in 22, B'derech shandam rotze lelech ba molichim also. In the way a person wants to go, that's the way he's led. What is rotze lelech? That's ratzon. The whole key of a person can be distilled down to one word, ratzon. What Hashem wants for us is our desire. And we see, to the extent that we are successful or not successful, how strong our desire was. A person has a desire, you know, to learn X amount. And after, you know, a week of trying, and, you know, you want to make a chavrusa with a friend, and this comes up, and that comes up. See, ratzon wasn't that strong. But if after a week you're still halted by it, and no matter what, you're making that phone call, even if it's 5 minutes, then we know your ratzon was very strong. And that explains the Gemara Brachos that says, Chashav Adam Laso Mitzvah, a person had intended to do a mitzvah, v'nenas, and he was forced, v'lo asah, and he didn't do it, ma'la lava katuv ki lo asah, it's as if he did it. The Gemara uses the word nenas. Nanas means he's forced, it's something beyond his control. Because if it was in his control, then ratzon is strong enough that nothing should have stopped you from being able to do it. But if you put in your entirety of your being, and it was really taka out of your control, you couldn't have imagined that this would have come up. Right, you built your sukkah, you tied it down, you made sure that it could withstand hurricane rains, and there was a hurricane. Then ma'ala labakatuv, as if what? As if you sat in the sukkah. But if you made a hodgepodge sukkah and you didn't really make it that strong and a little wind came, so then you are responsible for not being able, you know, your sukkah collapsing, whatever it may be. If you really hold by something, then you are going to put the entirety of your being into it. Zehu mamash kol havoda. This is all of our avoda, the squiggly line in 23a. Our job is to put in our ratzon. And that's the deeper idea when we say, Hashem, open up our hands and be able to give every person ratzon. Even in Ruchnias, Hashem, help us that we should be able to fulfill our ratzon, be able to help us that we should be able to have a ratzon strong enough to do your will. And this is echoed in the Shari Moadim of Brazil Sefer, according to Sasemis in 24. Shavodas Adam of Chines Huso Dilatata, our work in this world, the effort on our part, Hurak Ritzono Lifkor La Lovely Dabek Hashem Yisbarach Bavad, it's really very narrow. Our whole avoda is to desire to do something. Now, obviously, it's not enough to desire something and then sit back, says Haros Derech, and fold your hands and say, okay, God, you do the rest. No. The desire has to lead you to action. And he says, no, A person whose whole intention and mindset is to do the will of Hashem, then Hashem will give him as a gift the ability to fulfill the mitzvot correctly. And the Rebbe Brazil then takes this one step further and says it's not by accident that the words Ratzon is the same letters as the word Sinor, a conduit, which means that Hashem takes our Ratzon, our desire, and makes it a conduit to give us the strength to be able to fulfill and able to withstand that which we have taken upon ourselves. But we need to have the Ratzon. So, my friends, let's see what we've seen until now. Every Shavuot's morning, our souls are asked, Nasa v'Nishma, what does this mean? Nishma means we have to grow. Nishma means that we have to learn Torah more in depth. Nishma means to be able to look toward that vision of our potential, that we get a glimpse of on Shavuot, so we realize, you know, those who stay up all night, we can push ourselves in learning in areas that we hadn't imagined ourselves. We're able to do mitzvot. We're able to be involved in Torah in areas we couldn't have envisioned. That is the nishma of being able to say, even if they're obstacles, I gotta fall in order to get up, or I don't have to fall. My falling, my challenges in life enable me to become that much stronger, and I'm like that fish who's, you know, looking for those droplets. I may be involved in learning Torah all day, but when I hear a new word, wow, it's so exciting. That should be our passion. That should be our yearning for Yiddishkeit. What does Nasa mean? Nasa means I'm ready to do. On the basic level, it means unconditionally. It means back to the level of Adon Rishon where he fell, back to the Esro, that I am ready to do whatever Hashem asks me, no questions asked. Ah, is this not a very difficult level to reach? Because it may be impossible for us to do certain things. I mean, it's like almost foolish to say such a thing. So we saw one of two approaches. One is that we understood, Klai Yisrael understood that Hashem is giving us the Torah, he's giving us the ability to raise ourselves, to transform ourselves, that indeed we will be capable of doing those things from an outsider's perspective seems impossible. Or, the second approach is, Taka, these things are beyond us. There are many things that are beyond us that the Torah expects of us. So how can we say Nash that? What does that mean? I will do. It's beyond me to do. Because Nasa doesn't mean for us to do. Ose Dvaro means Muchanim. We are prepared to do. We are going to put in all of our effort in doing it. We're going to set up the mitzvah to the best of our ability. We're going to set up defenses so we don't fall to the best of our ability. We are going to set up all the battlefield that we need to do. All the siyagim, all the fences that we need to do. We're going to put ourselves into mode of fighting. But we understand that the end result of the war is in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And our job is just to want and to desire. And indeed, that is in our capability. Nasen means I desire to do. I have a ratzon, a desire to do the will of God. Once we have that ratzon, Hashem turns that ratzon into a signor, a conduit, allowing us to be successful. And that's why, my friends, we often find that we're in situations in life where we're struggling and struggling, and we're wondering, like, how are we going to get through this? And suddenly out of nowhere, there's a Yeshua, there's some type of salvation. That is we putting in our effort and Hashem doing the rest. And that is what our avoda is, and that is indeed in our capability. And I think very practically, that is what we have to do on Shavuos. We have to be able to almost flex that rotzon muscle of Hashem, I want to do. Hashem, I want to work on. Hashem, and work on that rotzon. Be able to almost ignite that desire that there's nothing else that I want to do in this world but to serve you, Hashem. All I want to do is be the best person I can. That should be our mindset. That should be our focus in on Shavuot's day. Now, this is all very fine and nice, but practically speaking, how can we ignite this ratzon? Okay, so one approach is intellectually say, this is what I want, and this is what I'm going to do. But we know it's not so easy. We know there's a lot of, interference along the way, and there's a lot of Yetzer Hara that says, oh, it's too hard, you can't do it. How do we ignite this ratzon? So I think we could suggest on the first answer on igniting this ratzon is the way the Nesiv HaShalom understands Nasa v'Nishma. And he says, How can we do source 26? And ask if we haven't heard what we're doing. So he quotes here from an idea that Avraham Avinu was able to do the mitzvot even before there was the Torah. How so? Because naturally, his body, his avarim, his limbs, understood that, you know, Yistakeh b'Areisa v'Arama, God looked into the world and created, looked into the Torah, created the world. The whole world is screaming out, doing Ritzon Hashem, doing the mitzvot. It's like he says, you don't have to teach somebody how to eat. This is a natural thing. Keeping Torah mitzvot should be a natural phenomenon in this world. Only when a person's sick do you have to, like, feed them and give them a, you know, sometimes a little lenu, a feeding tube. You really have to teach them and force them to eat. That's us. In the perfect world, we would be doing the Ritzon Hashem, the will of God, without even being told what to do. And that explains in 27, the idea that we say in the Haggadah Shal Pesach, V'ilu kevarnu v'sneif har Sinai, v'lo natan lanu Torah, dayenu. If you had brought us to Mount Sinai and didn't give us the Torah, it would have been enough. It would have been enough just to come to Mount Sinai and not receive the Torah. The whole point of coming to Mount Sinai is receiving the Torah. But according to this, it makes sense. Because had we come to Mount Sinai, and at Mount Sinai, when they said, Nasa v'nishma, Pascha zumasam, that negative stain of the Nachash left them, they were able to come back to that state of understanding naturally what Hashem wanted from them. The Torah was like, you know, the secondary level of teaching them and ensuring that they would understand and imposing it upon them that they would be mitzvah v'otza, commanded in doing, which is of a higher level. But once they reached Har Sinai, they understood intrinsically. They went back to the level of the avos of what the Torah demanded on them. Now we understand, he says in the bracket in 27, Vayisod v'ra'a k'doshim v'war gamin yan hakdamat nasa l'nishma. Nice nasa, you know what that means? Shinizachech beyoter t'evarenu. Nasa means that we're going to work on purifying ourselves. Achematz v'chem kvar yishmo'u. Nasa means I'm working on my mitos. Nasa means I'm working on all that which is the world of sin, the world of negative behaviors which are blocking me. They're the interference from me knowing intrinsically what to do. Like the level of Avraham Avinu. And that's what it means, who revealed this secret. Who revealed the secret that all you have to do is purify yourself. All you have to do is work on yourself that you are a pure conduit to the will of God, and then you will automatically be able to understand and intuit. Right, they say that Avraham Avinu from his kidneys understood. It was like they became like a wellspring. It means intrinsically you would know what to do, the will of God. And that explains, as the Nesivos Shalom continues in 28, while we have such an intense period of Sfiras HaOmer. Sfiras HaOmer is about Sapir. It's about the sapphire. It's about us becoming shining. It's about being able to bring a Mincha Chadasha, a new offering on Shavuos. It's about going from week to week, working on our mitos. Mincha mechudeshe bekablas haTorah hazot hamechudeshe. And that is what the 7 weeks of Sfiras HaOmer are about. They're about purifying ourselves. They're about, and that's what our avodah is. Ad hayom hazeh. Now, what are we supposed to be doing during Sfiras HaOmer? We're supposed to be working on being a mensch. You know, you can take it in many ways. My daughter, my 12-year-old, said, you know, Ima, Abba spoke about how we have to rectify the sin of Talmidei Rabbi Akiva. So if you don't mind, my kids in my class like this type of sandwich cookie. Would you be able to buy it so I could give it out to all the friends of my class? And that way I'm promoting, you know, unity and good feeling among everyone in the class. So again, there are ways to utilize this and there are ways to utilize this. So I said, well, how many cookies does each school need? Now, this isn't a party. This is just, you know, a gesture of friendship. Okay, gesture of friendship, we can invest in one package of cookies. But yes, this is what it's about. It's about giving. It's about thinking of others. It's about moving beyond the self. And as the Manchester Rev notes in 29, man's primary spiritual struggle is to refine his negative mitos, his negative character traits. One must ponder how things could be if his mitos were as they truly should be. Think of the difference this would make in one's dealings with others and honoring one's father and mother. In truth, it's difficult to fathom the degree of honor and respect which the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Eim demands. There are so much challenges that we have. And if we get to the core and the root of them, the problem is our negative character traits. The problem is our envy. The problem is our gaiva, our arrogance. There's so many negative mitos. And this is why, as Rav Chaskel Levenstein says, why he quotes the idea of why we don't have mitos written in the Torah. He says it's analogous to someone who goes to a tailor and asks him to sew a garment. Does anyone have to mention explicitly that the garment needs to be made from material? It's obvious that without material it's impossible to make a garment. The same is true of the character traits. They are the material from which a person can fulfill the Torah. Give the matter thought and you will see that the fulfillment of all the mitos is dependent on mitos. This thought has been expressed by Rav Chaim Vital in his classic work, Shaarei Kedusha. The Torah did not explicitly obligate to work in character traits because the Torah's entire fulfillment is dependent on one's traits. Your level of Torah observance is directly connected to the level of your trait. For example, if a person is arrogant, he will not have Yirat Shamayim. He feels that he is the center of the universe. He'll be unwilling to accept any other authority over his own. Arrogance in itself is a contradiction to the level of the Almighty. And again, the Sifti Chaim speaks about this in Chelek Aleph and Mo'adim 31, Rav Friedlander, that this enochiyut, that sense of I, is really what gets in the way for us to be able to deal with other people and for us to be able to have a relationship with Hashem. When the world revolves around me, it revolves around my needs, it revolves around what's good for me, and I'm not able to step outside of me to be able to see somebody else and where they're coming from and what their needs are and what experiences they've gone through that they're saying what they're saying, and I'm so quick to judge and I'm so quick to get angry and I'm so quick to be jealous, I've lost it. The world does not revolve around ourselves. But how do we work on this? How do we work on this? Is by working on understanding that this is the refinement of Midos. These are the 49 days of Sefirot HaOmer. So that when we come to Shavuos, I'm able to stand. And this is applicable till today. When I say Naaseh, it means, Hashem, I have worked on myself to the extent I've been able to, or I've tried to work on myself, that Torah becomes part and parcel of my life. It's not something that I'm struggling with. It's not an interference. It should be a natural outcome of what this world is about. So that not getting angry at somebody and not taking revenge and not speaking Lashon Hara is not something that I have to be told to do. It's something that I intrinsically feel and know because I have been working on my character traits. This, my friends, is one way of working on Ratzon. How do I work on desire? How do I work on that my desire to serve Hashem should be so ultimate and complete? Part of this is working on myself, that I take away all the interference that blocks me from connecting to God. Take away all the interference that blocks me from being able to say this is what I want. Because of course, if I'm only into my pleasures, and of course, if I'm only into what makes me feel good, it's going to be very hard to have a ratzon to do the will of God. But if I'm able to have bittul, and I'm able to humble myself, and put myself in the correct perspective, that the only reason I'm here in this world, and it may come as a surprise, my friends, but it's the reality, is to serve God, then I have a whole new definition of self. Self is in order for a higher purpose. Self isn't just to indulge in every pleasure that comes my way. And that helps us explain the Sichos of Bevarat Hashem understands what is Nasa Manishma according to the Morei Naim, the Chernobyl Rebbe in 32. Nasa means I'm ready, Hashem, to do your will even if it's an Atsiya Yavesha. Even if it's dry, even if there's no hisorus, even if I don't have an awakening, even if there's no cheshkat halev, but I'm ready to do what you are asking me to do. And as he says here, because if I only do mitzvot because Hashem has, if I only do mitzvot because I feel good, then it's like a taiva, like a desire, like any other desire. When we're talking about building a ratzon to do God's will, it means that my only ratzon should be to serve God. And the way to be able to work on this is to realize that, yes, it's nice to have a feel-good religion. Of course you like to enjoy your mitzvot. But Nasa Hashem, I'm ready to do your will, even if I don't have the greatest feelings in doing it. Even if I don't have, you know, a great high every time I do a mitzvah. Because I realize it's not about my ratzon, my desire, my feelings. It's about my ratzon to serve you and to make my Ratzon your Ratzon. And that is the challenge that we have to have. That when I'm ready to understand that the ultimate Ratzon, the real desire I need to have in this world is to do God's will. And it's not just my Ratzon means what's good for me and what's pleasant for me. Then I'm able to say Nasa, Hashem, I'm ready to do things on your terms. I'm ready to battle even if I don't feel good in this battle. I'm ready to persevere even if I don't get a good feeling from persevering. Nasa, Hashem, I am ready to work on my Ratzon to do your will. So how do we reach this level of Nasa, of Ratzon, of Nasa? So one is Sur Meira. One is by trying to get rid of all the interference that blocks me, that I'm able to uncover the real core Ratzon, my real core desire, which is to serve God. And that's by working on my mitzvos. That's by being able to share with others. That's by being able to have kavod to others. That's by being able to see that I am not the center of the universe. And the more I'm able to see this, the more I'm able to realize that I just can't feed myself and the feel-good religion, but I have to be able to move myself to a higher level of being able to do Hashem's will on His terms and not on mine. And that's one level of Ratzon. The second level of Ratzon, my friends, which will be our final piece, and then Mirza Shem will summarize, is a fascinating insight of the Das Chochma Musar on Purim. And this is source 37. You know, when we're talking about the Jewish people accepting the Torah in Asaph and Ishva, we know that there was another reacceptance of the Torah. And that was Kimu v'Kiblu ha-Yehudim aleihem v'al Sarah. But the Jewish people reaccepted the Torah the time of Mordechai and Esther. So Asaph Das Chochma Musar, hold on a second. You mean to tell me that we accepted the Torah? V'nei Chazal amru shebepurim haita kabbalah b'ratzo. Our rabbis tell us that now they accepted the Torah not out of coercion, it wasn't the mountain hound over their head, but they accepted it out of desire. U'lechara hechan hayasham kabbalah ha-Torah b'ratzo. Hold on a second. Where do you see that they reaccepted the Torah out of desire? Halo ein muskar shamrak mitzvah megillah. All they're accepting upon themselves in the text is one mitzvah, the mitzvah of reading the Megillah. U'mizeh mitbarer lanu. From here we see shemiratzon kol dehu memitzvah achat shaita v'ratzon. Here we see a very important fundamental principle that if one mitzvah is taken on v'ratzon, in this case kriyas Megillah, mizeh mitapechet kol haTorah kula me'onus l'ratzon. It's turning the entire Torah from force to desire. U'bazeh mitba'er lanu eze osher v'atzlacha hu l'adam kishu koneh b'nafsho ritzon kol dehu. This is the godless of having even a little bit of desire. Shebazeh hu sod atzlacha tova liato. This is his secret of success, of growth. Sheratzon achi kal meshaneh. Even a small desire turns the Torah mitzvahs from onus into ratzon. Let's explain. We saw, my friends, that when we're talking about how could you say Nasa, how could you accept this blindly, one is that we realize that we're going to be transformed people. We're going to be B'nai Malach and we can handle it. The second is we don't have to do the finished product. It is beyond us. Like, you know, for a person really to maintain Torah mitzvahs, it is beyond human ability. But we're not supposed to be doing Torah mitzvahs. What are we supposed to be doing? Having a desire to fulfill Torah mitzvot. Our job is the ratzon, our job is the desire. Once we have that desire, and we really have that desire strongly, and we're tested in that desire, no question about it, then Hashem is able to complete the mitzvah. Hashem is able to protect us from doing this transgression, this avera. How do we get this ratzon? So one level we saw, Sur Meira, is take away all ego. When you take away ego and you take away self, then you're left with ratzon, the pure type of pure desire to do the will of God. And that's our job, to work on our mitos, to work on that which is extraneous to us, to be able to say, Nasa, Hashem, I'm doing this even if I don't get a thrill out of it, because it's not about me. I'm taking myself out of the picture. I'm putting HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the picture. As we've mentioned many times, that famous vort of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, of the philosopher who met the mystic, and the mystic said to the philosopher said to the mystic, do you know the difference between you and me? And the philosopher said, you, the mystic, you think about man all day. And I about, let's get this again. The mystic said to the philosopher, do you know the difference between you and me? The mystic says, you, the philosopher, think about God all day. I, the mystic, think about man all day. So the philosopher was very, you know, impressed by this compliment. He thinks about God all day. And the mystic is thinking about man all day. Obviously, it's on a higher level. But then, thinking about it, the philosopher realized that this was not a compliment. It was really quite the opposite. Why? Because the mystic knows that God exists. The mystic is aware that God is the center of the universe. The mystic realizes that there's only one will in this world, and that is God's will. So what the mystic is thinking about all day is, where is man? If the only reality is God, so where do we fit into this picture? If God is the center of the circle, we have to realize, where is our part? The philosopher, on the other hand, knows man exists. So here's what I'm thinking about man. What is he thinking about all day? God. Does God exist or doesn't exist? Because in the philosopher's mind, man is the center of the universe. And that's really, on the first level, the Swarmi Ra, what Ratzon is about. Where is the center of our universe? Is it God or is it man? Is it theocentric or is it egocentric? And that's the question. And what Shavuos and the Sfiras HaOmer is about is to move us from egocentricity to theocentricity. And that's what Kabbalah Sator is about. That Hashem, I'm ready to accept it on your terms. And my only desire is to do your will. And I'm ready to do your will even if I don't get a high from it. My students all the time say this to me, Mrs. Smiles, how can I do Torah mitzvahs if I don't enjoy it, if I don't feel spiritual? And the answer is to be able to move from that need of me to a higher will. All I want, and that's I, yes. All I want is to make my will God's will. And that's where I come into the picture. But again, the focus is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. On the Aseh Tov level, there's another way to access Ratzon. It's not by moving man aside and egocentricity aside. It's about realizing that if we can choose one area that does excite us, one Ratzon that's going to make us feel like, wow, this is incredible. This is in the Aseh Tov. This one thing, I feel so connected to Hashem. By being able to be Mekabel, the Mitzvah, Kriyas Megillah, Beratzon, they turn their entire acceptance of Torah, Kima V'Kiblu, was Ratzon, was desirous. And that's our challenge. If we're able to get a little bit of a foothold in one area where we're able to have that passion, enthusiasm, and excitement, it impacts, it has a ripple effect on everything we do, that indeed it will be with this Ratzon, with this desire to be able to give of ourselves completely to the will of God. And that's why the Shari Derech notes, and this is the end sources here, that our job on Shavuos is to take a Kabbalah. Our job on Shavuos is to take upon ourselves something. It could be something new. It could be increasing and intensifying something that we already do, that we'll be a little bit more careful and conscious about. But it has to be something that's going to be not like a door that opens and closes, but rather like a choma, like a wall that is immovable, that we have to be able to say, Hashem, this is something that I am prepared to do. Shavuos, I am making my Kabbalah Satorah. How am I accepting the Torah? What's my Nasa V'Nishma? I'm taking upon myself a Kabbalah too. And find a small area, as he says, better a little with Kavana than a lot without Kavana. To find a small area where I'm going to be more attentive to. I'm going to say Asher Yatzar, as we spoke about just 2 weeks ago, standing in one place, reading it from a sitter. Whatever it is, I'm going to find something that I am ready to give of myself, but something that's going to excite is the wrong word, because again, it's about self, but something that's going to connect me, that's a better expression, something that's going to connect me to the Ratzon of Hashem, and that this mitzvah is going to be my bridge. This mitzvah, this hanhaga, this hakpada, whatever I'm working on, this is going to be my demonstration of Ratzon, of desire. God, it's very hard for me to say that I want desire in all the mitzvahs, and I'm ready to do your will unconditionally, but I'm ready to do it in this mitzvah. I'm ready to follow you. I'm ready to give my all in this battlefront. I'm ready to put all of my effort into being careful about this, no matter what comes my way. Whatever it is, from 6 to 6:05, I will not speak Lashon Hara. I don't care what happens. happens. When I'm able to take one thing on, Birutso, I'm able to identify one area where I am going to put the entirety of my Rutso, then it has the effect, like Kriyas Megillah, where it turns my whole Avodas Hashem, my whole Torah observance, into Ratzon, into this battleground of being able to accept God's will. And that, my friends, in summation, is what we try to see today. That Shavuos is not just a passive holiday where, you know, albeit people stay up all night, and albeit they eat cheesecake, and yes, that is pretty active to stay up all night, and I guess it takes some energy to eat cheesecake, but it's not just about that. It's much deeper than that. It's about being able to prepare beforehand and ask myself, am I really ready to say Nasa V'Nishma? Am I ready to really make this ability to decide upon myself? And as we've spoken about for many years, it's a Yom HaDin, it's a day of judgment. We have to be honest with this, where God is judging us on our ruchnis, on our spirituality. Am I ready to say, this year I am going to work on that fish in water imagery, trying to become as best as I can, and I realize I'm going to have struggles, but I'm ready to overcome them. And I'm ready, Hashem, to do your will on your terms. Because I'm embracing on Shavuos that I am Malchus. The whole book of Rut is about kingship. David HaMelech. I am embracing a world. I feel elevated on Shavuos that I'm a Bat Melech. I'm a Ben Melech. I'm a prince or princess. And that is going to give me the fortitude to be able to do your will no matter what. As well as I understand that all I have to do is put in my best effort, my Ratzon, and you're going to do the rest. How do I put in my best effort? I get rid of all the interference of the ego, of the self, and I focus in on God being the center rather than my needs and I being the center, and choosing one mitzvah that, yes, that lower I does feel connected to, and being able to invest the entirety of me in that one area, and then that turns all of my areas into the battleground of desire. When I show God I'm ready to do, just like I'm ready to do in this area, it's a demonstration that really I'm ready to do in all areas. And when we say Nasa V'Nishma, it's a clear indication. Hashem, I know you have a lot of faith in me. I know, Hashem, you invest a tremendous amount in me. Hashem, you see my potential. V'tara li beinu lo'avdecha v'emes, as we say in the Musaf Davening. Hashem, purify us that we can serve you in truth. Allow us to be able to be the best Avdei Hashem we can be. We can say Nasa V'Nishma. We can put in our best effort. But it's only from you, Hashem, that we will be successful in reaching the levels that you have deemed are the levels that we indeed can reach while we are on Alei Adamos, on this world.